chapter 15, verses 11 and 12 is where we'll begin today. I was in the midst of doing some testing about a year ago. They thought I might have cancer. So far, no sign of that, thank the Lord. But while I was going through that and a few other things, my sister-in-law, Becky, my brother's widow, sent me a get well card. And the thing about the card that caught my attention the most was the scripture inside. The scripture was from 3 John 1:14, I hope to see you soon. Now, the interesting thing about that is my dad's name was John. My late brother's name was John. My past nephew's name was John. Three Johns on the other side with the Lord already. And then, I hope to see you soon. Third John. I thought, well, one way or another, I'm going to be better real soon. This side or the next. How many know things could be misunderstood? You can get some things wrong sometimes. I don't think that Becky was trying to send me a subliminal message from the other side. She meant it in all good spirit and all. Well, I had a misunderstanding about one of the main characters in today's Bible lesson. I always thought a prodigal was a rebel, somebody who got lost or ran away from home. But I looked up the term. Come to find out, prodigal is one who spends resources recklessly, wastefully extravagant. So a spendthrift. Here, you don't have to leave home to be a prodigal. In fact, with today's modern technology and the new betting apps that they have, you could be a prodigal in the comfort of your own home, in your living room, on your recliner. You can lose everything you have and go into tremendous debt without even leaving the house. Isn't modern technology wonderful? Well, yeah. The important thing is that at some point you come to your senses and get it right. That's the whole point of life. Come to your senses, get to the Father, get it right. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Lord, help us to learn today. I know that there are probably people who will come to mind and will think, boy, I wish they were here to hear that today because that's for, but we're here today. So would you sharpen your pencil and make some marks on our own heart? Help us to affirm and reaffirm some truth to ourselves. And wherever correction needs to happen, may we be open to that and be better because of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This parable, the parable of the lost son, is the third parable in a trilogy of stories that Jesus told to illustrate one main point. And that point is how it feels to be reunited with something that you lost that was very valuable to you. The first parable he talked about was the lost sheep. You're a shepherd, you have 100 sheep, and you count them at night, and one of them is missing. You're a shepherd, you love your sheep. And the thought of one being out there is all but overwhelming. You've counted them all. There's Curly, Larry, and Moe, and down through 99. Where's Shemp? Where's Shemp? I don't know what happened to... Oh, man, I really like Shemp. He's one of the funny ones. I miss him. And so what does the shepherd do? He doesn't just stay with the sheep and say, oh, boy, I hope you're okay out there somewhere. He leaves the 99 safe within the fold. He cares about them. They're safe in the fold. But he goes out at night and he looks for the lost one. When I was a boy, we had a dog that after she had weaned her pups, before we gave them away to people who wanted a dog, they were just all mutts, but she would lead them out into the woods and come back by herself. And so we would have to go looking for her pups. And I remember at night with a flashlight walking through and whistling and calling, and the pups, they don't know anything to come to you. But I remember how desperate we felt looking for puppies. We love dogs and all of that. We always found them and brought them back home, and then would scold the mama dog for, you know, you need to take care of your puppies and all of that. But I know that feeling of in the dark and looking for something that's lost. And there's a hopelessness that walks with you. Haven't found them yet. We've been looking for a long time. Found them the last time over here. They're not over there. Oh, then your mind starts to work. What if they fell in the creek and they're you know, downstream somewhere? What if a fox got them? In fact, while I was on my way to church this morning in Hanover, out behind Walmart, there's a little development there for 55 plus or whatever. Right on the corner was a fox standing right on the corner. I had to stop at the stop sign anyway, but I stopped and lingered a little bit. That is a fox. That is a regular, real fox, bushy tail and everything up, pointy ears, right here in the middle of Hanover. Well, you're out there looking for your puppies, or in the shepherd's case, looking for his lamb. You're thinking, oh, there's bears and there's lions and there's all kind of stuff. There's thieves. What could have happened to poor little Shemp, you know? And there's that, And that is a prelude to the joy when you find them. That angst and that worry and that fear just burst into being over. Oh, there you are. And you scoop them up in your arms and you give them a kiss and you're half crying. And you're yelling to everybody, hey, I found it over here. And that joy is talked about in verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So Jesus is telling us, look, you might have been a jerk. You might have been a real loser. You might have done some nasty things. But boy, when you're lost to the Father and he finds you, he rejoices and is so happy. We might think, well, you know, God's got his trophies already. Billy Graham's up there and Charles Spurgeon is up there. And there are a number of other ones that are just great. And I'm sure he's happy with his trophy case. No. If you have any children, you know, you're not happy until they're all safe at home at night. You, no matter how late it is and how you're not able to sleep a deep sleep until you hear that car pull in the driveway or you hear them being dropped off or you get that text that they're okay, it's all good. You care about each and every one. God created you and God loves you. And he's got a place in his trophy case and nobody else is going to fit right there. And he can have 99, he can have 99 billion, 99 million, whatever. But the missing one is the one that's on his heart. And God is always after us. God is always after you. Well, the next story up was the lost coin. Lady had 10 coins, very valuable silver coins. She had a purpose for each one, a plan going forward. And she counts her coins and there's only 9. Wait, I know what, let's just recount here. And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. Okay, one more time. Don't get excited. There's only 9 here. Hey, come here. Count these coins for me. How many do you count? Yeah, that's what I counted too. Okay, well, look all around. Move the furniture around. And the Bible says she swept the house and went through everything. And then she finally I was worried about what my husband would say when he got home. I lost one of the coins. We were counting on that coin for retirement. And we're not going to make it now. Without, and I owed, you know, taxes and whatever else it was planning for. But she's so happy. She calls up all the neighbors and says, hey, I found my coin. Oh, and everybody rejoices with it. How long was the coin lost that everybody knew that she had lost the coin and was looking for it, you know? And so she's just really happy. So verse 10 reports, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The whole angel band breaks out into song and they do the hoopai shoopai dance. Hey, and it's all good because a sinner has come home in the same way. You ever lose anything of value? Your keys. I lost my keys for a week a couple years ago. Somebody turned them into Wise Market because I had the little thingy on there, you know, and they, whew. Boy, you're worried about who can get into my house and what they're going to do with my car, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. What a relief. I found the key. Your cell phone. Ever said to your spouse, hey, would you call my phone for me? I can't find it. Misplaced it here somewhere. Your laptop or your wallet. Oh, what did I? You ever go to the store and you wore the wrong pants and it's time to check out? Oh, what did I do with my wallet? And there's just that fear. You kind of think you maybe know where it is and you're hoping it's where there. And you go look. Ah, it's not there either. But finally it's found. Oh, now you don't wake up in the morning, do you, normally every morning and go over and say, thank God, here's my wallet. No, it's where you thought you left it the night before and where it always is. But when it's lost, that's what makes it more precious and valuable, that it gets found. What does heaven delight in? Sinners repenting, sinners coming home. So, what do you look forward to? Any kids looking forward to summer vacation? I was just talking to a school bus driver that we have coming, and she said, you know, this time of year, all the kids are getting a bit antsy. They can hardly contain and keep studying and thinking straight and everything because vacation is coming. They're going to be free. It's going to be so great. You ever be watching your favorite team play and they're behind and, you know, the clock is ticking or it's the last inning or what have you. Ah! Woo! Ha ha! And oh, the joy of the victory and all. What do you rejoice over? Well, this is what heaven gets off on whenever there's a soul saved. The trumpets blow and the angels dance and oh, there's glory to God and a big smile breaks out on the Lord's face. It's an amazing thing. It never gets old with them. So now we come to the last of the three in the trilogy of the parables about lost things, and it's the lost son. It's this prodigal and what he has been through. He went to his dad. He was tired of the old, boring, being at home and working in the fields and taking care of the sheep and planting the crops and harvesting them. He goes to his dad. He says, give me my share of the estate. I've been working here all my life. I want my part and I'm out of here. Well, actually, he didn't even say I was out of here yet. He just wanted his chunk of it. And so the father divided up the estate. Now, the younger son would have received a third. He had two sons. The older son would get a double portion. That's how they did it in their society. And he was due a third. So it probably used up all the cash reserves that the family had. He still had land. He still had livestock. He still had servants. But he got together quite a bit of cash that added up to about a third of what the total was worth. And verse 13 says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, it doesn't take much of an imagination to figure out what it means, wild living. After thousands of years of civilization, wild living is still what wild living was. After thousands of years, you got your drinking, you got your gambling, and you got your fooling around. You got your immorality there. What was wild living then is wild living. And this boggled my mind when I contemplated it, because wild living never ends in anything good. You would have thought we can put a man on the moon, but we haven't figured out that drinking and gambling and running around ends in no good. Everything else, we electrons and protons in an atom. But go get drunk and get behind a wheel, and that ends in disaster. We just can't seem to learn those lessons. That seems to outweigh all the intelligence stuff that we've ever figured out. And we still can't put the pieces together. In fact, we send our kids off to university, and what do? We're thinking that they're going to, you know, become a rocket scientist or cure the cancer, and they're getting drunk. And they're sleeping with one. I go, I'm paying for this? This is stupid. But that's civilization thousands of years falling in the same ditch every time. When our son was learning how to walk, our son didn't learn how to walk. He learned how to run. He, you know, as soon as he got up, he'd either fall down or take off. That was one of the... And we had this one step between the living room and just one step, and he would go full bore right for that step, punk, face plant under the kitchen every single time. You just figured sooner or later he's going to figure out, hey, there's a step there, and I got to, no, just full plume. Civilization. Hey, you know, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Oh, I'd have been smarter than that. Yeah, well, then why are you still drinking and driving? Why are you still gambling everything away? Why are you still running around? Has that ever worked for you before? No. Has it ever worked for anybody before? No. So, boom, boom, boom. And prodigal son, boom, went to a distant country. How far away? Well, he's a Jew, and they had pigs there, so it's pretty far away. He went a far distance, and song as old as time, whatever, however that goes. As long as he had money, he had friends. And they helped him spend his money, which wasn't easy because it was a lot of money. And they just boozed it up, and they ran around, and they laughed. But something strange was happening. The less money he had, the fewer friends he had. Until he spent his last dollar and looked around, and he said, well, we spent my money, let's spend, where'd they go? Wow. And sadly, when he ran out of money, so did everybody else. A famine hit. And he had nothing, and it was nothing to be had. So the famine's here. And I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, but with the famine came inflation. Have you ever heard that word before? Inflation. Because there was a supply chain issue now. There was no food being grown in the fields, so nobody got hired to go pick the food. There were no jobs. The merchants had nothing to sell, so they didn't have any work where they could get some money to buy the food that wasn't there anyway, and everything spiked in prices. It cost more than ever to be able to buy something, and he has nothing. Food's more expensive, and he has nothing, and he's hungry. Everybody's hungry. Nobody is in a charitable mood anymore because everybody's scratching to get by, and it's really, really hard. I don't know if you listen to Word FM, but through the week, mornings with Kevin and Amy. Kevin was sharing this week that one of his daughters was their prodigal, and she was out living in sin, pursuing drugs and booze and this, that, and the other thing. And she's recently come home and made things right with God and all, and is doing well. But she was talking to her dad about how hard it was out there running with the crowd, you know, supposed to be having fun and party and all. Well, she was drunk one night, and one of her associates, I don't know if it was a friend or not, just hauled off and punched her in the mouth for all she was worth. They were both drunk and busted several teeth. I don't know if you've ever had a busted tooth. I mean, it's one thing to get your tooth knocked out. That's bad. But a busted tooth, you know, and so she's still got scars from the little foray that she took off. And fortunately, she came to her senses, came back home, and things are going well for her. But that's what happens. You go the way of the world. And although it's happened to everybody else who's ever done it, you can't talk to some people. They just got to go experience it all for themselves. But let's back up a little bit. Let's rewind the reel a little, and let's just take a different route. Let's say that prodigal son decides he's going to build his life on biblical principles rather than on the foolishness of the world. So he's going to look to the word of God. He's got this windfall of money, and he doesn't want to blow it. And so he says, what does God have to say about all this money? So he's going to follow biblical principles. Now, the first thing he would do is give 10% to the Lord. God, how would you have me give this to be an honor and blessing to your name? And when he paid his tithe, you don't give a tithe, you pay your tithe. That's what you owe to the Lord, to recognize it came from you and I'm going to honor you with it. When you pay the tithe, you invite the Lord in to your finances and to your economy. And you say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. And even though the bills seem higher than my income, I'm going to give the first 10% to you, and I'm going to believe that I'm going to have everything I need and more. I have experienced this personally. Barb and I have experienced this in our lives, and I know many of you would testify the same. Yeah, there were times when it didn't look like we'd have enough, but God always provided. We invite God in when we pay our tithe. Then he would have looked at the scripture that says, look at the ant, you sluggard. And even though he doesn't have a master, he puts away for winter what he's going to have. So there is this concept of storing some of what you have for the leaner days in your life. So set aside an emergency fund. We like to say you should have 3 to 6 months income in ready cash savings because stuff happens. How many know stuff happens? How many know when it rains, it pours? Stuff happens. And so the washing machine is doing its thing, and it's, but then it sees that the dryer quit doing its thing. Well, if the dryer's not going to do its thing, I'm not doing my thing anymore. And then the refrigerator hears what's going on in the utility room, and it says, well, if you guys aren't doing it, well, then I'm shutting down here too. And then the car out in the garage hears what the appliances are saying, and they, whoa, wait a second. Here, if anybody needs a rest, I'm the one that's ready for the rest. And so everything just kaploom, kaploom, kaploom. But if you follow biblical principles, you're on solid ground because you got that money saved. Now, it hurts a little bit seeing it going on. You know what I did to save that money? But that's what it's for. And you got solid ground, and you can go on. So not only would prodigal have had some savings to take care of him during this famine, since he had such a windfall, he would have invested some of it. Remember what Jesus told the parable about the guy? He gave some to his servants, you know, 10, 5, and 1. And one went, invested, came back with 10 more. The other came back. And the guy who just buried his, the master said, you fool, you wicked. He called him wicked for just holding on to what he had. You should have at least invested it with the bankers. I could have got interest. Could have got interest. I know the last time I looked at my checking statement, and we have several thousand dollars in checking. I got 7 cents worth of interest last month on my checking account. You could have at least gotten the interest on it, you know. Thankfully, I have some better investments than that, or I'd still be preaching when I'm 92. But if prodigal would have invested that money that he had rather than shot another round of pool or whatever he did, round for the guys, let's say he bought up some surplus food. Food was cheap because it was abundant at the time, and then he put a little extra food away, and then famine hits. Boy, his investment would have gone through the roof. Nobody has food, and it's all worth it so much. So if he'd have followed biblical principles, the same famine that knocked the snot out of him as a prodigal would have made him a wealthy man. He would have been able to provide for people who were dying. He could have saved some lives as well as been wealthier in the process. So I want to ask you now, who looks cooler now? The guy in the pigsty who, oh, I really had a party, I'm telling you. It was really, but now he's slopping pigs. Or the fella who has enough to eat and enough to share with somebody else. Even this pig could tell the difference between the two. It's not about what we look like today. It's about your future self. It's not enough to take care of today. What about tomorrow? There are times when there's a chore that needs to be done, and I don't feel like doing chores. You ever feel that way? Just, I don't know, there's something about the couch that just, oh, you know, ah. And I don't really feel like it right now. But I say to myself, my future self will thank me. I can leave that till tomorrow, but tomorrow I'm going to be mad at my today self because I could have gotten it done, and tomorrow's going to have some other stuff to do. So I get up off the couch and I say, well, my future self will thank, and I do. You know, the next day I go, oh, yeah, hey, I did that. Oh, thank you, yesterday self. You're quite welcome, future self. Glad to help out. And then I think, what can I do to bless tomorrow self? Hey, I'm going to do this for you, pal. You're gonna like this. And it works like that. It kind of rolls. And when you're taking care of tomorrow's self and next week's self, you know, it makes life better than what it was or even what it is. Lost prodigal left poverty and despair for future prodigal to live in. So here's present prodigal slopping hogs. And look, thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, you party, you jerk. You know, look what you did to me now. But somewhere, I don't know whether it was the pig manure or whatever, something hit him and he woke up. We read about in verse 70, when he came to his senses. Wow, some of that stuff will, you know, wow. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Whew, he woke up. Let's see. What I did yesterday is why I'm where I'm at today. Is there something I could do today that will make it better for tomorrow? You know, prodigals, they don't think about tomorrow. It's just right now. Don't you know what the night can do? Oh, we don't have tomorrow. We just have right now. Live in the moment and all those things and all those philosophies. Yeah. Well, lost prodigal woke up in a pigsty. He's starving, no friends, alone, lonely. In the midst of all of that, he's going to be good to tomorrow. So maybe today stinks, basic training. But I'm going to move forward with something for tomorrow. I know what I'll do. My dad's got a lot of hired guys. I'll just ask for a job. I will humble myself. That is such a key point in this story. I will humble myself. There are a lot of folk who will die and go to hell because they will not humble themselves and admit, I was wrong. Friend, if you want to live a good life, you'll have to be able to say, I was wrong. And be willing to change directions and learn from the mistakes of the past. But we know prodigals, they're smarter than the rest of us. When we're going to work, they're laughing at us. Look at the, you're going to work every 9 to 5. That's not for me. When we're forcing ourselves out of bed and across that cold floor and we're going to go to work, they just roll over and they turn the pillow over. Oh, it's so cool on this side of the pillow. I wouldn't want to miss this. Oh, those fools off to work. There's always going to be somebody to take care of me. They owe it to me. And the government will, they'll, you know, That's a ha ha ha. They're too cool for school. I'm not learning. Even though they forced me to go, I'm not going to learn a thing. I've made up my mind. They can't make me learn. Ha, 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 ha. I'm too smart for that. Yeah, well, how's that work out for you then? But he came to his senses. And he said, this isn't working out like I thought it would. So he got up and went to his father. She kissed him goodbye. The big old sow, and what do you get when you cross 50 deer with 50 pigs? $100,000. You might want to write that down and figure it out later. When you come to your senses, don't defend yourself. Don't look for somebody else to blame. Get up and go back to the Father. Lord, I messed up. Sometimes we get mad at God because we don't like the way life has gone. We give him a little bit of an attitude. Run back to the Father. Lord, I'm sorry. Again and again and again. Yes. The Father was out there. And when he saw the prodigal from a long way off, he ran, wrapped his arms around him. And the boy started his speech, Dad, I'm sorry, I blew it. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. If you just give me a job. He yelled for his servants, bring me a robe and some sandals for his feet and roast the fatted calf. And we're going to have a party. My son was dead, but now he is alive again. And he's rejoicing. And it's, oh, such a heartwarming scene. Now, here's the main point of today's message. This is why you came today. This story isn't about making the prodigal happy. It's about making the Father happy. The Father is longing for all of his children to come home. We need to break our pride and run to the Father because he's running after us. And you say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not, but you're loved. You're not worthy, but you're cherished. Hey, you ever see collections people have? Hummels and, you know, dinnerware. And, you know, they'll show you something. You know what this is worth? It's worth $10,000. Well, maybe to you. I don't know who in the world, an idiot, would pay $10,000 for it. But it's precious to them, therefore it's precious. I have no idea why God loves us the way he does. But he loves us enough to die on the cross for us? You got to be kidding me. And so he's got this place in his heart, in his heaven, that's just shaped for you. And until he gets you, his collection is not complete. But it's beyond collection. It's a personal thing. He loves you. And it's not about making you happy and healing your wounds that were self-inflicted and making up for the lost years and all of that. All that will happen, but it's about making the Father happy. And if you will just buckle under your pride, surrender to the Lord, he's the one that will be the most joyful. And all of heaven will light up when he smiles. I have a friend that I've played racquetball with. And we were praying for his daughter. His daughter was out there. They didn't know where she was. She was just an older teenager and had run away from home to do drugs and booze it up with her friends and all of that. They would get a call ever so often from Connecticut or Rhode Island or wherever. Mom, Dad, I just want to come home. If you just send enough money for a bus ticket, I'll be on the next bus. That send the money and then get a call from, you know, wherever. Mom, Dad, I just want to come home. You know, I'm in the police station, and finally they got that call, and they said, good. Good. You stay there. That's where you need to be. She was arrested and all, but she finally came to her senses. That was her pigsty. And she came home and went to rehab and is doing very well today. You know, isn't it funny, the life that she rued, the life that she thought was so boring, the life that she thought was all for losers, was so wonderful. She woke up in a clean bed every morning. There was food on the table waiting for her when she got there. There were people who could have a civil conversation with her, not trying to knock her teeth out or take advantage of her so she'd get another hit on some kind of a drug. All of a sudden, that life that looks so boring was everything. It was paradise on earth. Her attitudes and heart had changed, and we're so happy she's doing well today. Now, the older son didn't go to the party. He said, that jerk wasted all of your money, and now you're throwing a party for him? I'm not celebrating this. You see, he didn't understand the Father's heart, and he didn't understand the Father's grace, and that's the point. God's grace is unreasonable, unpredictable, and completely unearned. Wouldn't be grace if you could earn it. The Father's just happy to see every one of his children come home and be reconciled to him. I know that you've messed up in the past. I know that you've messed up recently. But the Father still loves each and every one of us. And all we ever have to do to restore relationship is to sincerely in our hearts say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm Stinky Joel. I've blown it again. Please forgive me. I don't know why, but I'm so thankful that you do love me. I have a friend who is part of his midlife bucket list. Always wanted a Corvette. He got an inheritance and he said, this is it. He went out and bought himself a used Corvette that he owned for a couple of years. And he said, I've got this Corvette sitting in my driveway, and one of my sons comes over with his family. And I says to him, hey, you want to take it for a spin? And he says, no, that's okay. I wouldn't want to mess anything up. That's your car, Dad, and so I'm good with that. Well, the other son came in with his family. And the first thing he said is, where's the keys? I got to drive this thing. And his dad threw him the keys, and he went out, brum, ba, 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 brum, ba. And then and son number one says, hey, well, I'm next. I got to drive that. Well, wait a second. You didn't want to drive that. Yeah, but he got to drive it, and so then I get to drive. Ah, you ever been there? You didn't ask for it. You didn't. But if they're going to get it, well, then I guess I might as well, too. There's a lot of people going to heaven. None of them deserve it. But there's that blue light special going on. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I could show you some people that you'd say, well, if they're gone, I understand Billy Graham and, you know, all that, but if they're gone, hey, no way. They were worse of a jerk than I was. Which probably isn't true, but nonetheless, there's a doorway open for you too. And if others of us are gone, why don't you come along too? All you have to do is give up all that stuff that's killing everybody anyway. And follow after God and build on that foundation, that rock that stays solid throughout all of eternity. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you've heard this song before. Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found.
it's one thing to be good to your tomorrow self, mow the grass today, you don't have to mow it tomorrow. But it's a way different thing to be good to your eternal soul by getting it right with God today. Oh, throughout all of eternity, you'll thank your today self for having made that decision. And even if you've been a believer for a long time, but there's something in your life that has been an addiction, a drain, it's never too late to turn around. Lord, forgive me and help me to walk a straight path moving forward. Father, thank you for life. I wish we were all smarter than what we are. I wish we would have gotten it a long time ago. But thank God for when we do. We must be something else to work with, eh, God? But sooner or later, you win. We surrender. At least I hope that we all surrender. And Lord, I pray for any who's got a stirring in their heart today. Well, boy, if I was to do that, I'd really have to swallow my pride. Yes, yes, yes. Swallowing our pride is one of the healthiest things we can do. Lord, forgive us for our wanderings, for our stupidity, for our sin, for our self-righteousness, for looking down our noses. No, we're all in need of you. Forgive us and teach us. Take us by the hand and show us the way. I'm sure I have some friends who have dealt with some old habits, some old haunts for a very long time. And in fact, they've probably become consigned to the fact that this is me, this is who I am, this is the way it's going to be. No, in the name of Jesus, we pray for freedom. We pray for progress, that day after day you'll be making us into that image of Christ. More like you, less like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.